I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Did you know that U.S. food aid is on its way to Yemen? Yep, more than 58,000 tons of American wheat to help feed Yemenis displaced by the country's civil war. Of course, turning that wheat into flour and then into bread and then getting it to those who need it is going to be a huge challenge. There's no let up in Yemen's war. It's a complicated conflict which started with Houthi rebels ousting the country's president and continues now with a Saudi Arabian airstrike campaign against the Houthis. Few Western journalists have been able to get into Yemen to report from there. It's just too dangerous. Plus, the Saudis are not allowing journalists into the country. But that did not deter American reporter Matthew Akins. He hired a smuggler to take him to Yemen by powerboat. They cross the sea at night from Djibouti in East Africa. I asked him why he thinks the Saudis are trying to keep reporters out.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. They've been accused by the UN, by Human Rights Watch, and by Amnesty International of violating the laws of war, of committing war crimes by indiscriminately bombing civilians in an attempt to displace these rebels. And while, of course, the rebels have also committed human rights abuses, the fact that there's not really a lot of international pressure on Saudi Arabia and it's being backed by the U.S., I think, has allowed them a much freer hand in pursuing this devastating air campaign.
All right. So tell us what you saw. You get to Yemen, then you travel inland by road through the capital up to Sada province, and that's the home base for the Houthi rebels. What kind of conditions did you see there?
Well, this whole border province had been declared a military target by Saudi Arabia, sort of like the free fire zones that the U.S. used to do in Vietnam. And the whole area is absolutely devastated. The road that we went in on was being targeted by coalition jets. There was charred vehicles, dead goats along the way. And then the city, Sada city in the north, is just bombed into rubble. They've hit schools, houses, government buildings, markets, restaurants, basically targeting anything that moves, in the words of one person there.
Yeah, anything that moves them. You said dead goats. What was that all about?
They're basically trying to strangle the border areas, just like they're blockading the entire country, which the UN and other humanitarian groups are calling collective punishment against the Yemeni people. So too are they basically trying to cut off this one province by road. So in this case, a truck full of goats had been hit by a jet.
Wow. So these Saudi bombing runs have forced a lot of people into homelessness. And you spoke with a French doctor who was pretty upset about the lack of humanitarian response and the number of internally displaced people. Is that true? Isn't Red Cross there? Is there any United Nations presence?
Well, the response has really been slow. There's over a million Yemenis who've been displaced from their homes. The UN has warned that 6 million are on the brink of starvation, that a famine is right around the corner. But because of the blockade and the evacuation of internationals at the beginning of conflict, the UN and other international humanitarian agencies have really been slow to respond. So we saw refugees who were camped out in the open. They weren't being given food or even water. Now, what's interesting is that in the beginning of war, when the UN made an appeal for emergency humanitarian aid for Yemen, $274 million, Saudi Arabia pledged the whole amount that same day. And yet, you know, months later, none of it has actually been delivered.
Are you basically saying that because the Saudis said they would pay for all the aid that nobody else came forward?
Yeah, exactly. So there's two theories. One is that this is actually deliberate. And the second is that just the Saudis didn't really have experience and they pledged the money and then realized later on that these kinds of money can't have strings attached to it. Otherwise, the UN won't accept it. You know, and the Saudis maybe didn't want this aid going into certain areas controlled by their rivals.
You were in Yemen long enough, Matthew, to talk with a lot of Yemenis. What's on their minds as this war just goes on?
They want to know what their future will be. You know, I think they feel like things are spiraling out of control, that the fate of their country is now up to these warring militias and regional proxy wars. And of course, what's on everyone's mind, I think, is the fate of other wars that sort of began with the uprisings of the Arab Spring in Libya, in Syria. You also have the conflict in Iraq, which is, of course, related to the U.S. invasion of the region. And just incredible suffering that is part of the reason why we're having this massive migration crisis and refugee crisis today. So if you look at those examples in Libya, Iraq, and Syria, it's hard not to feel very pessimistic about Yemen's future, that this could get just as bad as those places, and the world will just stand by helplessly or cynically.
Matthew Akins wrote about his extraordinary journey into Yemen in this week's edition of Rolling Stone. Matthew, thanks very much for telling us about this.
It's my pleasure.